You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Here, a little fun story for Cup of Joe Morning Show, because I find out these things, I think they're cute. I think I'd want to share them with you. This couple got back from big vacation. We're kind of in vacation mode right now. A lot of schools off for a week, and soon we'll be in, you know, because the weather gets nicer here, and it was so terrible in the winter, and then it's, so now it's nice, we can go somewhere else. But this couple in England went on quite the vacation, 5,000 miles away. It's quite a trip, and when you get back, you know, you need a day, right? And they took a few days before they unpacked. We all do that. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, we'll get to it tomorrow, you know. And it was 4 days later, and they throw the suitcases on the bed, and they're unpacking, and they notice something moved in the suitcase. Wouldn't you be tempted just to, like, run out and say, kids, you can have the house. You know, we're we're out of here. But they didn't, and they captured the sweetest little thing a baby gecko had stowed away in their luggage. And so they called up the SPCA, except when you're in England, it's the Royal SPCA. So remember that. And they said, yeah, they like to stow away. They really do. But they were amazed. Everybody was amazed. I mean, a 5,000-mile plane ride and, you know, living in the suitcase for another 4 days. And it was fine. And they took it back, you know. By the way, the couple had been what I think sounds like a cool place. They went to Zanzibar. Zanzibar, yeah. I said, man, if, you know, if they offered, like, if I could find an $85 flight out of Stewart to Zanzibar, I'd probably go.
You got serious thrill issues, dude.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
You make my drive to work so worth having. Thank you for the entertainment, the music, the love, the blessings.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show, the Sound of Life.
Here we are Thursday, wow, before Easter. And the Gospel of Mark, that's in the Bible, of course. Mark's one of the guys that recorded, you know, what was going on there. He said they came to Jerusalem and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who, that's Jesus, who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? You've made it into a den of robbers. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. A lot going on in there. Every Passover, thousands of Jews came from all over Israel and Judea to offer sacrifices to the temple in Jerusalem. They traveled long distances, many of them did, and they purchased their animal sacrifices in Jerusalem rather than hauling them from home, risking injury or blemish that would make it unworthy. Mm-hmm. Was it convenience for Jewish worshipers to purchase their sacrifices once they arrived? However, the market for these transactions had been set up in the court of the Gentiles, where non-Jewish seekers of God came to worship. Thus, at Passover, the temple courtyard was filled, picture this, filled with livestock, sellers of livestock, money changers who exchanged regional currencies for Jewish money. And Jesus saw that, of course. Now, I was thinking, well, I was in Mexico, right? You take the bus into town, it's $2, right? I don't have I have American dollars. So you get on the bus, and the bus driver has a bucket of American dollar bills, mostly ones, and he has a bucket below that of pesos, coins, all that, right? Pretty big difference in the currency exchange rate there. So I have, and me and my wife are going, so it's $4. I give him a $5 bill. You would think he would give me back a $1 American bill. Oh, no. You know, he knows he's got a rookie on there. Right? Yeah, I just gave him some coins. He gives me peso coins. Hey, that's neat and all that. It didn't add up to a dollar. Did not add up to. So he's a money changer. He's making money. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, he's changing money and to his advantage. That's what money changers do. It was very interesting. I thought I've actually been a part of that. Now, in of itself, I mean, that's just the way it is. But out in front of the temple, you know, that would... And then you can see why Jesus was right? So when Jesus already overturned the tables, placed an embargo on the merchandise. You imagine, you got all your wares laid out, got money laid out everywhere, and all the just scattered everywhere. You start refocusing everything. Were the merchants just trying to help the travelers worship God? Maybe. Maybe they were. But they were doing it at the expense of those from all nations who were seeking God, counting their worship as insignificant. In calling them robbers, Jesus may have been referring to their greedy financial transactions and the way they were robbing Gentiles of their place of worship. Very interesting. And then you notice in Mark, it doesn't say he got angry. There's a lot of debate about that. You know, I mean, I'm sure that he was like, okay, something in it. But we are human beings, and we would see that and probably get angry enough to turn a table over and stuff. You'd have to probably be angry. But it's very interesting. It brought new light. Again, learning new things about something that I've read, I don't know how many times, about during Easter week, you know, Jesus coming into the temple, that whole thing set up. I can just hear it in the background there. Hear the money changers and the animals.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
This is a really cool story. And I had read recently that a typical scene in foster care, you know, is a six-year-old showing up at a house. They don't know where they are. They've never been there. They don't know who is there. Everything they own, they're holding in a garbage bag in their hand. And that is exactly what happened to Nigel 4 years ago. A new foster brother arrived holding a trash bag of his clothes. Turns out they were ill-fitting. Turns out Nigel is a fashion-loving high school senior, and he had an epiphany. I really felt for him and the other kids, he said, who have to go through that. I thought I could do something to change things. So with the help of his parents, he started a nonprofit, naturally, because that's what all 17-year-olds do when they see a need, you know. Hey, let's get together. Let's get a nonprofit that can interact with the system, you know, and provide for these kids. And that's what he did. Clothes for Kids is the name of it. Clothes with a K and the number 4. All right. And it's branching out in Las Vegas. That's where he lives. They've distributed over 2,000 bags in partnership, you know, with the neighborhood there in Las Vegas, foster care. It's made me more grateful for what I have, he said. He plans to study business at UNLV, hopefully expand K for K's reach, as they call it. Gives me joy to provide for others. How did his mom react when he said what was going
to... My initial thought was, oh, you know, this will be a little project. Yeah. And
cute idea.
Yeah, cute idea. We'll help. And it just took off.
Wow.
And it was such a great need. Mm. And so I'm really, really proud of Nigel.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The Sound of Life.
Came across this thanks to Kara. And it was in Corrie Ten Boom's book. She is the Dutch young lady who worked very closely with her father, watchmaker and repairer, when the Nazis invaded, of course, their homeland and were coming after the Jews. They were saying, not on my watch, you know, very dangerous to be in. And they officially got caught, as so many did, sent to the concentration camp, of course. She was there. Watched her family perish. You know, she did not, because of a technicality, she was released. That's the way I understand it. And she went on to talk. And boy, was she the thing. When Corrie Ten Boom got an idea, she says something, you ought to pay attention. And she was talking about riding one time on the train with her father, in her book. And she said, sex, I was pretty sure, meant whether you were a boy or a girl. And sin made Tante Jans very angry. But what the two together meant, I could not imagine. And so seated next to Father in the train compartment, I suddenly asked him, Father, what is sex sin? And he turned and looked at me, as he always did when answering a question, but to my surprise, he said nothing. At least he stood up. At last, he stood up, lifted his traveling case from the rack over our heads and set it on the floor. Will you carry it off the train, Corrie? I stood up, tugged at it, and it was crammed with watches, spare parts that he had purchased that morning. It's too heavy. Yes, and it would be a pretty poor father who would ask his little girl to carry such a load. It's the same way, Corey, with knowledge. Some knowledge is too heavy for children. When you're older and stronger, you can bear it. For now, you must trust me to carry it for you. That is from the very famous book by Corey Ten Boom called The Hiding Place. Isn't that a great example? A lot of people are referring back. You know, that's old. That seems to be old school, right? Our kids, you just have, this is too heavy. You just have to trust me until you're old enough. But what an illustration from her father.
The sound of life.
Busy Thursday for you. Yesterday going home in the middle of the afternoon was like it was a Friday. I even asked the person at the post office, you know, that works there behind the counter, are you guys open the rest of the week? Is it Friday? No, we're okay. But a lot of people have off. A lot of people are traveling and stuff like that. And I was listening to maybe you, Dr. Tony Evans, were talking about inviting people to church. It's always interesting because we invite people to church, and church has a lot of special things to try to get people, you know, well, we're having a barbecue, you ought to come. Well, that's good, you know. And a lot of times I've thought, I wouldn't go. If you invited me, I would. I mean, if I wasn't churched, you know, and stuff, I was outside, I was like, eh, you know, if I was questioning my faith or whatever, eh, I don't know, you know. So we go to the people, right? Take it to the people. Today commemorates when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and mandated you do the same thing. That's where Monday, Thursday comes from. He mandated you do the same thing. And all this is to lead into the fact that there is an IndyCar driver. Don't roll your eyes at me. An IndyCar driver. He's a rookie. He's really good. He may get rookie of the year in the IndyCar circuit. And his number 51 is really cool. His real name, believe it or not, is Stingray Bob. Cool as that, right? So he has found himself there. You know, you don't just get into IndyCar racing. I mean, even though he's pretty young, you have to come up through the ranks and all that and qualify and all that stuff. He wants to put a Bible verse on his car, and it's John 3:16, right? Wow, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. There's so much packed in that, right? Man, oh man.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rise and shine.
The sound of life.
When I was in Ethiopia, on the outskirts of the capital city, Addis Ababa, you see these women coming down from the hills, and they went up there to pick up sticks, eucalyptus, and they have a bundle, not exaggerating, probably as big as your car, all right? And I couldn't believe it. And now in Nepal, I'm looking at a photograph, it's like, hey, massive, big things. You know, on the women. But there is a woman in Nepal who's a Christian woman. Her name is Smiti, S-M-I-T-I. She is encouraging women there to spend time in the Word and to study. It was shocking to some, as women in her culture are often taught they are useless. All right? Pray the women of Nepal find the value and voice that God has given them.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.